wherever it is you're going, it's pretty easy to talk about joy during Christmas time because it feels like Christmas is all about joy. Wherever you go, you have lights everywhere. One of our neighbors over right next to our house, he has this big, big light show that he does every year, and it's like synced up to a radio station. He's got the lights and all the stuff, and you just walk by there, and you feel good. You get to watch it, and it makes you happy and all that, and we have presents. Everybody likes presents, right? The whole Christmas season and all of our traditions that we have, it's pretty much centered around joy. So I was thinking, well, this is going to be a really easy one. But also sometimes joy is kind of difficult during Christmas, especially people who are flying. If anyone's ever tried to get on an airplane during Christmas, you can't, because everyone else wants to do exactly the same thing as you, and it's crowded, and there's the presents, where the presents are great to give them and to get them, but sometimes you don't know what to get them, and you want to get something, but you can't get that thing because money's a thing, and you can't always, like, get exactly what you want for people, and sometimes you don't know what they want. Yesterday, during our Christmas carnival thing, I was sitting back in the back with Santa, and one of our teenagers walked in, and he realized a great secret about Santa. And he realized this and told me, you know, I think I know why parents take their kids to sit on Santa's lap. It's all to get them to get on Santa's lap, and they sit there, and Santa asks the question, what do you want for Christmas? And a smart parent will listen to Santa and listen to the child, and aha, I don't have to ask the child what they want for Christmas because they have already told Santa, and now I know what to get them. And it just, like, exploded his brain, and we're like, yes, Nolan, we know. We've known this the whole time. Where have you been? But sometimes it's difficult around the holidays to focus on joy with you're all in close quarters with family members, which most of the time is a great thing, but sometimes you have, like, families over for a little bit too long, or you've been in close quarters for too long, and fights happen, things like that. So I wanted to talk about joy just kind of from this perspective of sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But before we talk about how joy happens and all of that, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. So I went to Webster and looked for his help, and he was not very helpful at all. So we either have the character from Inside Out, the movie with the blue hair and the yellow skin and the sparkles and always smiling and all that, and then we get this very, very generic definition, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, which is not helpful to me at all when I am trying to study to help us all understand what joy is. So I decided to look again, and I wanted to see, well, when in the Bible they're talking about joy, what word are they actually using? So I put blue on blue, and that's very lovely. But in the Bible, whenever they're talking about joy or rejoice or anything like that, they're using the Hebrew word. So anytime you see it in the Old Testament, it's all written in Hebrew, we have this word simcha. Let's repeat after me. Simcha. And it's used whenever you're talking about a holiday or when a child is born or someone gets married, all those types of things. There's this one word that they use instead of using the word holiday or like a special specific day, they have this word simcha. And when I was kind of looking at this word, all of these words have something in common. They all end very briefly. These are all very brief periods of time, and if you blink, you might miss it. So something like a holiday, you have Christmas, and you have the day, woohoo, Christmas, and then it's over. And then you have to put all your lights from your house and put them in a box, put them in the attic, or wherever you keep them for the whole rest of the year. And a child is born, and you have the day, and then the day is over. And you have a marriage where it's the marriage day, and then the day is over. All of these things, if you don't take the time to experience the joy of the moment, you've missed the whole thing, and you can't get it back. So I think that that's very kind of pointing towards what God is trying to show us about how to experience joy, how to kind of take hold of it in that way, that we have to be vigilant in looking for joy wherever we're going. And so we're going to talk about that for a little bit. First off, joy is a feeling. A lot of times when I was looking through commentaries and sources and all this stuff trying to study, a lot of times people will say, well, we have joy and we have happiness, and those are separate things, right? We understand that. We have happiness, which is kind of like, I can be happy or I can be sad, just kind of depending on the day or what's kind of going on. But we have joy, and that's a deeper, a fundamental truth about humanity or something. But we have these verses in Psalm 118:24. It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, Simcha, and be glad in it." Rejoice and be glad. We have this thing that we're doing. We're rejoicing. We have joy, and it's a feeling. Be glad. And we have 2 Corinthians 7:4, which says, "I'm acting with great boldness towards you, and I had great pride in you. I'm filled with comfort," a feeling. In all of our affliction, I'm overflowing with joy. So we have joy is associated with feelings, which when I was kind of reading through these ones was kind of confusing again, because kind of growing up in the church was always kind of taught like joy is something that you just kind of do despite what's going on, and it's not a feeling, it's something else. But I think that it's important to talk about joy as a feeling, because whenever God's talking about it, like have joy or things like that, God cares about the way that we feel about things, and I think that that's important. Joy is talked about in the Bible hundreds of times. There's lovely tools online where you can count how many times every word is used in the Bible, and it's really awesome. So you don't have to go through and count them all yourself, because that would take forever, and I don't have time for that. So you can look through, and it's used over 150 different times. So God cares about joy, and joy is a feeling. So God obviously must care about our feelings, which is kind of cool to think about. A lot of times, I am not the very emotionally aware person in my family at all. That's my wife's job. I'm all the math and thinking and studying and all of those types of things, right? And sometimes something will happen, or I'll say or do something, and it does not result in the emotion that I thought. Sometimes I'll say something and sadness happens, and I don't really know how that happened. I'm not a very emotionally aware person. But my wife is, and so I will have to ask questions like, wait, what do you mean you're sad? What's going on? Or just kind of things like that. And it's important to realize that whenever God's talking about blessing us as people, we like to break up ourselves into these different parts. Like we have our body and we have our mind and we have our soul and our spirit and all these things. But we're one person. And one part of us being unhealthy or one part of us being kind of out of line with God's will makes the whole person unhealthy or out of line with God's will. And so I think that it's important to talk about joy, because it's talking about our emotional well-being and what God thinks about that and how he views that. So joy is a feeling, but it's not the same as happiness. Happiness is kind of surface level. But joy is a little bit different, and I want to kind of talk about how it's different. So joy is a feeling, but a feeling that you feel in your soul. And we'll talk about how that's different from happiness in a little bit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The last two didn't make it on my slide. I don't know what was going on. I don't know. Maybe I don't have those. I don't know. But so these things, including gentleness and self-control, they come from the Holy Spirit. They come from the Spirit of God. The way that we get those is through Him. We cannot generate those on our own, is what this is talking about. And then we have in Jeremiah 32, I can't read the last part because there is a wreath in the way. But anyway, I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in this land with faithfulness, with all my heart and all my soul. So we have joy coming from the soul, which is different from happiness, which we'll talk about later. But we're going to talk about feelings. Help me, I'm feeling. From The Grinch with Jim Carrey. It is one of my favorite Christmas movies of all time. When we have feelings, our feelings usually come from where do we talk about? We have the Grinch whose heart grew however many sizes that was. Three? Five? Three? Three. Yes, three. So we usually talk about feelings as coming from our heart, but that's weird because our heart doesn't do feelings. Our heart pumps blood to all of the rest of our body. So that doesn't make sense. So our feelings, they don't come from our heart. That doesn't make sense. We use that as an analogy because it's kind of hard to explain where feelings come from. Because they come from different places, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, like right now. So, feelings. There are different types of feelings, and usually we talk about them coming from our heart, but sometimes they come from our brain, which is kind of weird to think about, feelings coming from our brain. But what happens is there are chemicals that swim around in the fluid around your brain, and when they latch onto certain parts of your brain, you feel feelings. And that's kind of interesting to think about, just like chemicals cause my feelings, and feelings cause chemicals, and this is all kind of weird. But here's the difference. These cause things like happiness, sad, hungry, just kind of like basic feelings. Okay, things like joy and wrath, which we don't really talk about a whole lot because that's not fun to talk about, those kinds of things come from our soul, which is different. When we have, where did that go? This one. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, it came back. Isaac, you're the man. You fixed it. You knew I was going back there. He's pretty cool. So, all these things come from the Spirit of God, not from us. Some of the other ones that we don't like all that much, those can come from us in our soul. But things like happiness, sadness, like kind of like those basic ones, can come from our brain, which is kind of, we have kind of these like surface level type emotions, and then we have these deeper ones that come from our soul. And I want to kind of explain this with a story. I came up with a title for the story and a very nice graphic, The Chiropractor and the Butter Knife of Pain. And this is a very catchy title because it's a very interesting story. So here goes. About 4 years ago? Four. Let's just go with that. 4 years ago, my wife and I were in a car accident on Reams and Greenway, right next to the Walgreens. Tom was there. He saw it. He wasn't in the accident. He was just at Walgreens, which was kind of cool. So he saw us and stopped, and the whole thing happens. So Tom can verify that this story is real. and not just made up. So what happened was we had a car that was going 40, 50 miles an hour, and we were not moving anywhere. We were at a stoplight, and they were not stopped by their brakes. They were stopped by our car, and we were stopped by Brian's car, and it was a very lovely day. But what happened was, after that, we couldn't sleep at all, and the next day we were like, okay, well, we have to go to the doctor, and we had to get all these x-rays done and all this stuff, and it was not fun at all. And my head, you know how your head's supposed to stand on top of your spine? Like, spine, 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 head. That's not how it went. It was like, spine, 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 head, over here. That's not where it's supposed to be. So I had to go to the chiropractor, and he has a lovely tool called the butter knife of pain. And what he does is it looks like a butter knife, and you're laying down on this table thing, and he like scrapes it along your soul, it feels like. Like, I don't know what kind of medieval torture class he had to take to learn how to use this tool effectively, but you can ask him, he's right across the street. And so what he's doing is he takes this deal, and he explained it to me amidst my sobbing tears. I heard, I'm scraping off the scar tissue off your muscles. And that's not a pleasant feeling at all. I don't wish that on any of you guys ever. But what he's doing is he's taking this butter knife thing, and he like gets it all ready to go, and he scrapes it along all your back muscles, and you're like, ah, screaming. And then he'll do it on the other side, and you're like, wow, that doesn't hurt at all. Well, those ones aren't broken. This is what it's supposed to feel like. And then you'll do it on the other side, and then it's screaming pain. And this happened over and over. We had to go back to this doctor like 2-3 times a week for 1,000 years. I think it was only like 5 months, but it felt like 1,000 years. And by the end, I could walk like a normal person, and I could like sit down and like run and do all these other things, which I could not do before. I couldn't even sleep. I didn't know that it was possible to not be able to sleep because your muscles hurt so bad. That was not a thing I had ever experienced before, but then I did, and it was very sad. So I had to subject myself to the butter knife of pain. So, what on earth, Kevin, does this have to do with joy and your soul, and all this stuff? Here's why I brought up this story. So, when we have feelings like happiness and sadness and hunger and things like that, that's like how you feel on like in your body when you're going to the chiropractor. So you have an emotional state of being, like happiness, sadness. I had a physical state of being when I walked into that chiropractor's of, ow, pain, ow, ow. And you walk in there and you have to go in there and fix it. The chiropractor in this story is like God. This is a very weird metaphor, but just hold on. And there is a like physical state of being inside my muscles and my bones and all this stuff when I would go to the chiropractor that was not correct. If I just kind of like let him like do the adjustment and like crack all my bones back into place, I would walk out of the chiropractor feeling better. I would feel better for about 3 hours, and it would all slip back into like whatever position it was in before, because my muscles were pulling my bones back out of where they were supposed to be. Okay? And the spiritual, emotional state that we experience can pull our feelings whichever way we're kind of already set in our spirit. Some of us have very short fuses for anger, and some of us have very short fuses to just outburst of joy. And what that's coming from is where we're at in our spirit. Okay? So, like when I went into the chiropractor's office, my muscles were pulling my bones out of alignment, and it was causing me pain. That's very similar to like having a spirit of bitterness that kind of pulls you towards being angry all the time. In the same way, kind of after going to the chiropractor, your muscles are kind of pulling your bones to where they're supposed to be, like a strength, like a strong, normal, like healthy kind of system, and it's pulling everything into back into alignment, like having a spirit of joy that comes from God. And so I kind of wanted to kind of break this down to kind of explain this in a little bit more detail here. So at the chiropractor, there will be pain. He's going to take out that butter knife, and he's going to scrape off whatever needs to be scraped off, and it's going to hurt. When we're working with God, and we're working with our relationship with God and kind of understanding where our joy is coming from and kind of working with him to help us see his blessings through our day and all of this stuff, it's going to bring up parts of your day or parts of kind of your past where there were things that cause pain. That's normal. That's just kind of part of the process. But in working with God kind of through what's going on in our spirit, etc., there's going to be healing. And scars will be repaired. We've talked about that. The physical chiropractor, he's removing scars and doing all of that. In the same way, spiritually, with our relationship with God and working through that and seeing joy. And the work is ongoing. We went to that chiropractor for months. And working with God through kind of seeing joy and experiencing joy, this isn't something that works quickly. It's something that kind of takes a while. But I want to go through the process of like, okay, well, we understand what joy is. We've talked about what joy is and kind of like what's going on. But how do I get joy? Like, what action items, please? So let's do this here. Joy is a command. When God is talking to us about joy and like what that means for us, he is commanding us to be joyful, which is not the same thing as commanding us to be happy. That would be really bad. If things like sickness or pain or whatever is going on in our life is happening, and if God were to command us to be happy, that's not healthy at all. So I'm very glad that he does it. But he does command us to be joyful. In Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." It was important enough, he said it twice. In Romans 12:12, it says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." Which those are not action items, Kevin. Why did you tell us that you were giving us action items, but then didn't give us any? Joy is also a choice. We can choose joy or we can choose not to. And this comes out of Lamentations, which is a great place to look for things about joy, by the way. Seems kind of backwards, but it's not, I promise. In Lamentations 3:19 through 26, it says, "I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and gall." This is not joy, by the way. I well remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. No joy. Not yet. "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So what do we do to get joy? So action items that we're going to pull out of this portion of Scripture. First off, it's okay to remember or to kind of have these things that aren't joy. That's fine to feel not happy. That's a healthy thing. It's our emotions are all given to us for a time and for a season, but it's not to live in those forever. And so what the writer is talking about that gets him to a place of joy is calling to mind the hope that we have in the Lord. His compassion for us, his love for us. He gave us the command to be joyful, not to give us more work to do, but because he cares for us. And he cares about our emotional well-being. He cares about our emotional health. In kind of the time that I've been kind of leading the youth group and leading, I was a teacher for a little bit, and just kind of hearing the stories of what's kind of going on in schools, there's a big problem that we have right now with emotional health. And I think part of it is coming from this kind of idea that we're taught to not express emotions that are either negative or that we don't understand. And what this passage of scripture is talking to us about is the writer remembers and even writes about portions of his life that he wasn't happy with, that he didn't like, that he didn't want to go through, but he did. What pulls him out of that is this part that I bolded. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. When we're focusing on not our past or what's kind of going on, but we're focusing on who God is, his attributes, and his love for us, that's where our joy comes from. Even if kind of the world around us is not what we want, God doesn't change. Every morning he's the same. And every morning he loves us. He has compassion for us. He cares about our health, our mind, our emotional well-being, all of it. He cares about every part of us. And all parts of us are important to him. And that's why he commands us to have joy. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. We don't have to do anything to earn God's joy in our life. We don't do anything. It even says right there, it's good to wait quietly. There's not any sort of like, I have to do anything to earn it. It comes from that understanding of God's love for us, for his relationship with us, and how much he cares for us, and his faithfulness to us that joy comes from. And I do want to tie this back to Advent, into the Christmas season, into the Christmas story. In Luke 2:8-11, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Where does our joy come from? "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Jesus lived a perfect life for us. He died. He lived and was born as a little baby boy a long time ago. And he lived a perfect life and died for us on a cross so that we could have a restored relationship with him. And part of that relationship with him is his joy. And so in this Christmas season, even though there's stuff like crowded airports and stress with money or with family or whatever is kind of going on in the background of this Christmas season, I want to challenge you guys to remember why we celebrate this reason in the first place and where our joy comes from. Our joy comes from God's love for us. He cares for us and he's faithful to us. And he proved that by sending us his son. So that's my challenge for you guys today.